Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So, Joe, we've made it. It is finally NFL draft week here. And we're just a few days away from the Titans picking at number one overall. And we think selecting Cam Ward. So, you know, I threw it out there, like, Titans fans, what's your most burning question out there? I don't think very many answers are going to be, hey, are they going to draft Cam Ward? I think we kind of all feel like that's going to happen at this point. I guess. I mean, you could still leave the door open for a trade. But we've gone through the timeline here. It doesn't feel like that's on the horizon at any point here.
The NFL wants people to believe it's possible.
They do. They do want people to believe that. But, you know, Thursday night, I expect, Joe, the draft to begin, the Titans to select Cam Ward at number one overall. And then, you know, the burning question from there is going to be, all right, well, is this a transformational, foundational pick for a franchise that is going to totally turn this thing around? Like, is Thursday night the beginning of a run here in Nashville with Cam Ward as your quarterback that we're going to talk about being among the best or the best in the history of the franchise? That's what the goal is. Like, that, your goal, and they feel a long way from it right now, is to compete for championships. So we'll see if that begins to turn on Thursday when they draft Cam Ward. Heading into the draft, Joe, I ask you, as we sit here today, the Monday before the draft, the thing you're most curious to see with the Titans this week as the draft rolls around, what would that be?
Well, to me, it's 35. It's what they do there, if they can bail out of there. You know, if they want to bail out of there, if it comes down to someone they can't believe is there, it's like, no, we got to stick and pick. Or if someone actually wants to get to that spot, and can they get more picks? That to me is the key. We know what they're doing, we think, at one. So 35 to me is huge. And again, if the evaluators are on point in terms of the overall draft, then it's a huge deal to be able to get out of there and get another pick in the top 75 and have, again, if it really is like there's very truly little difference between the middle of the first round and the middle of the third round, then, man, is it a big deal for them to try to get out of there and get an extra player? They just need so many good football players. But at the same time, Luther Burden, James Pierce, whoever you love who might be sitting there at 35 could be a difference-making player and worth going there. So that's, to me, it's that pick. And then it's also just, again, are they picking a back? You know, do they feel the need to get a corner now, more of a need to get a corner now? I mean, the needs are – they definitely are not in the spot where Borgonzi talked about before free agency, which is you don't want to, like, basically, to paraphrase, like, have any, like, glaring needs. They have glaring needs.
Several.
All over the place. So how they deal with that is going to be fascinating.
Can they find a truly game-changing player beyond Ward? That's where I'm at. And I specifically, I'm looking at edge or wide receiver. Can you find somebody, and I'm not talking a game-changing player in 3 years. I'm talking now. Like, can you find somebody that comes in and immediately makes a huge impact on your team? Like, from an edge rushing standpoint, you know, everybody, if you're a Titans fan that's been around long enough, you're going to bring up Curse. Like, the team is not in the same spot that they were in when Javon Curse, like, you know, they went 8-8, I think, 3 years in a row before Javon Curse got here. And it was several things. Like, they moved to Nashville. You know, McNair started to play better. A lot of things happened that allowed them to go 13-3 and get to the Super Bowl. But probably the biggest difference was Javon Curse was an absolute freak show out there, and nobody could block him. And that made their defense really ascend to that next level. Now, the team is not in the same spot as they were then. Like, you know, you're talking about the worst team in the league. So, by all, you're not drafting James Pierce or Landon Jackson, and they're coming in, no matter how good they are, and making you like a Super Bowl threat. Like, that's not happening. But can you find a guy either at 35 or moving back that can come in and be a player for you. I mean, look, I've been screaming about young wide receivers and somebody needed to make a difference for 3 years at this point, ever since Treylon Burks has come in and it became clear that he wasn't going to be that guy. Like, they need that guy. Does that guy exist in this draft? Like, I probably have more confidence that you can find an edge rusher that could fit that mold than I do receiver, based on what's currently available to them, we think, at 35. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. But can you find, and I don't really care which one it is, if I'm a Titans fan, can you find either an edge rusher or a wide receiver that could come in and immediately you say, yeah, that guy's a good player, and that guy's going to help us immediately. That's what you need to walk away with one of those guys.
Yeah,
it'd be great to walk away with two of those guys, but you at least need one.
Yeah, I'm confident that that pick, 35 and later, there will be an edge and a receiver, at least one of each, who will be impact players in this league for somebody.
Yep.
I'm confident in the depth at both positions. And you know how it'll be. It'll be someone who goes in the fourth will be the star of the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens too. But yep. I think there's a lot of good options.
Scataboo.
Oh, man. Take the right. You're taking the wrong Cam, Titans. Take the right Cam at 1-1. Got to do final, writer mock today. Maybe I should.
Oh, good.
Maybe I should throw that in there. Just do Cam Scataboo.
Y'all going seven rounds?
No. Oh, my God, I hope not. Jeez, don't freak me out. I don't think so. I'm planning on, typing up a little Cam Ward thing and getting out of there. But maybe a Cam Scataboo instead. But seriously, like, what if they what if they get back into the third? And they're like, sitting there in the third, and Cam Scataboo, I'm just saying.
As we pointed out, they've taken at least a significant interest in looking at some running backs during their 30 visits. I mean, that's at least on their radar heading into this. It's by multiple accounts, it is maybe the deepest position in the draft. So you can view that a couple different ways. You can view that as, man, you got a chance to get – a guy that could be a really good player for you, maybe in the third round. You could also view it, Joe, as like, if you want to, there could still be some really good backs available in the fifth or sixth round that, you might be able to target at that point. But I'm interested to see, at this point, with how much they've looked at it, I'll probably be surprised if they don't walk out of there with a back somewhere in the draft. And then, how do you use them? Where do they fit? What does that mean for Tajay Spears? Like, we'll get into all that after the draft, but like they have taken a pretty significant interest in looking at those guys here.
Like, they have, but then it's like, if they do that, man, think of the positions they won't address.
I know,
because they've got some work to do.
They do,
offensive line still needs work.
And I guess for receiver, specifically receiver, I'm not talking somebody that comes in and you walk away and say, well, yeah, that was a pretty decent rookie year. Like, they caught 49 passes for 615 yards and
you want AJ
four
Brown?
Or five touchdowns. Like, yeah, can they find somebody that is you immediately look at and you say, man, I don't know how he got to pick 35 or pick 42 or wherever they end up picking in the second round, but thank God for the Titans he did, because he's there and he's a guy that's going to be – right there with Calvin Ridley is kind of your 1-2 for the next couple of years. Like, they need that immediately to help out their quarterback.
Totally agree. They need that, and they need a starting edge. So, again, if somehow you can get out of 35 and get a later second and a third, I think, I'm a big believer. I am a big believer in best available, but if it's close enough that those two positions can be addressed effectively in the second and the third, you have a starting edge and you have your wide receiver 2/ you hope wide receiver 1A, 1B, then that's a heck of a draft. And they haven't had a heck of a draft in a heck of a long time.
615-737-1025, our phone number. One question that is gaining some steam on our text line that I want to get Joe's thoughts on coming up next. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 the game. It is time for the 4th Annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament, benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura. We'll be out there along with Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us, a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians, as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, we have made it to draft week, mercifully, here on the program, so looking forward to that. Joe, one texter says this. Sorry if you mentioned it already. Do you think it's a possibility that the Titans could trade Jeffrey Simmons to move up in the draft? Now, there's been some ideas thrown out there over the last couple of weeks about Jeffrey Simmons, and the Titans have been taking a look at some defensive tackles as well in their 30 visits here and maybe could have their eye on addressing that position too. Like, I look at where they're at right now with DT, and I look at, you know, Simmons and the versatility he's got. Obviously, Sweat last year. Like, I feel okay about that spot right now. What do you make of the idea of potentially trading Jeffrey Simmons and what that could either fetch you or what that could help you accomplish in the draft? Coming up, Joe Rexroth.
I don't know how to break it to you, Texter, but they have the number one pick. They can't move up in the draft.
You can move up other spots, though.
Yes, yes. I'm just messing with you, Texter. Yeah, it's interesting, the evaluation of DTs. It makes you go to that, right? I get it. And, you know, I think I could see some teams out there who are a little bit more in a contending window who have the financial flexibility to take on that deal. I could see some interest if that's really where they need help. I don't expect it to happen, but I mean, he's one of the valuable veteran assets, very, very few that they have on their roster. But again, he's got a pretty big number attached to him. And frankly, I don't think that he's playing up to that number. So I don't think he has in a couple of years. So I have my doubts that it would happen. But sure, I mean, it's a possibility. And that would, I guess, track with them looking at defensive tackles. But, you know, again, like, they also, I mean, they just, they need depth everywhere. That's probably one of their best spots right now, as is. But, you know, you also can't have too many, to me, you can't have too many good linemen on either side of the ball. So, but it is interesting. So, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. We'll see.
Yeah, well, what are you getting back for Jeffrey Simmons? That's kind of my question. Because
straight up, not a ton.
Yeah, my guess is, like, if you found the right team, let's say there's a team out there that is a competitive team and they think Jeffrey Simmons could be a piece that really helps their defense push it over the top. You're probably still looking at, what, maybe a second, probably more likely a third, somewhere in that neighborhood for Jeffrey Simmons. So then I guess the question becomes, is that worth it if you're the Titans? Because if you get rid of Jeffrey Simmons, while I agree with you, like, he is not living up to the number that he's being paid. And, you know, at the time he signed the contract, he was going to be paid like an elite defensive tackle. And I think he's a good player. I don't think he's an elite player with the way he's played the last couple of years. But if you create a hole there, then you just got to go plug that hole again. Like, what is worth it? What return would be worth you kind of opening up a hole there that you've then got to go fill at that point would be, I think, the question if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they could get better than like a third. I see somebody saying you got to get a second and a third and a fourth. I mean, I could be wrong, but
I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. Again, he could be part of a deal, like a pick swap situation. I mean, like, if you can get back in the third with that, that'd be great. And again, you're going young. You are obviously in a rebuild. You're drafting your franchise quarterback number one, so you're clearly in that situation. I suspect that he probably wouldn't be all torn up to be if he was traded to like a good team, to like a contending team or a team that's at least like a playoff team. But like you said, then you okay. So now you're weak there too. So you're. Yeah, you know, you can bring in, you're going to draft a rookie to come in there. What is Tavondre Sweat in his second year? I don't know. You could, you know, all of a sudden, you know, that's one of the few strengths. Wasn't as much of a strength as it needed to be last year at all, but it was still a strength on this team. And Now that becomes a weakness. So, it's because they are so right now just far away with the roster. I mean, if you can actually get a decent return, then, you know, then I'm not totally opposed to it. But it's also like when you have so many or when you have so few difference-making veteran football players, are you sure you want to take another one off the roster?
Yeah, like I think it's two separate discussions. Like I would agree with those who say he is not living up to the deal. Now, I would also say with where they're at in their roster, like right now you're not paying big money to a quarterback. You're not paying big money to a wide receiver. Like you're not really paying big money to really anybody right now other than, you know, Legarius Sneed who can't get out on the field, and we'll see what happens on that front. But, like, there's not a ton of huge contracts that you're out there on the hook with right now. So, I mean, that by itself is not a reason to pay Jeffrey Simmons. But, like, his level of play when he's been available has been – it's not like it's a disaster out there. He's a good player. He is not a great player, like a great, great elite-level player right now, which, you know, maybe that upsets him if he hears that. I don't know. But, like, I think most, if you watch him, would agree that he's been fine. He's been a good player. He has not been this enormous difference maker that people thought he could be when he signed that contract.
Yeah, I think that he was. I think that he was that level of difference maker in 21, 22 before he got hurt, but it's been a while. And so if you're looking at this big picture long term, you're the Titans, obviously you're going to try to win this year. You hope you make enough good moves that you could, like, you know, scrounge together a run at the playoffs, at least having, like, games that matter in November and December. But the question you ask yourself on a Simmons thing is, okay, so in 26 if things go well, in 27 if things go well, and we're good again, what is Jeff then? And if you think that it's a decline in progress right now, then, you know, and you can get something for a diminishing asset, then it's certainly worth talking about.
Well, and it's again, you know, wondering exactly what you can get. Like, because look, if you can get a second rounder, then I'd probably be a little bit more open to it. All right. Like, if you get a second rounder, which again, I don't know that you can, but if you can, I'd probably be looking into that if I were the Titans. If it's anything below, like if it's a third rounder, fourth rounder, then I think you start to get into, all right, what's the cost benefit here? Like, what's the benefit of doing this, and is it worth the cost that you're having to pay?
What if it's a third and a fourth?
That's a good question. I probably tend to lean no there, but I'd at least think about it.
They need players.
They do.
Again, there goes one, though. There goes a good one.
I think some of that also comes down to, like, all right, let's say you get a third and a fourth. How are you? Are you going to use one of those to replace him, or are there other positions that you're targeting with those third and fourth round picks at that point?
Yeah, you have to use something to replace him, I think, right?
You would think. Otherwise, you just got this hole there where it used to be.
Hey, I remember when they traded Jarrell Casey. John Robinson got out in front of it, and I was like, "What are you doing? Like, you have a chance to have Casey and Simmons in the second year together. That's a dynamite combo." Well, worked out all right, and Simmons stepped into the void and was very good. Maybe is
Could
Tavondre
Sweat step into that void?
Is Tavondre Sweat about to become a difference maker in year two? I mean, I think he was promising as a rookie, but he wasn't as impactful as I thought he might be.
Right. Like, what does that look like in year two with him? I mean, the one thing I'll say about Sweat that we wondered about heading into it that I think he answered pretty loudly in the affirmative, which – could he play significant snaps? Like, was he going to be in shape enough to play? And he was. Like, he played, you know, he stayed healthy for the most part throughout the year. He played more snaps than I thought he would heading into the year. So I felt good about that at the end of it. Now, moving forward, you'd like to see with those snaps, could he be a little bit more impactful than he was, particularly, you know, getting after the quarterback. He needs to get after the quarterback a little bit better than he did in year one.
If you're him, there's no way you like the idea of Jeff Simmons being traded away.
Right.
You know, that those two should be putting teams in a bind this year in terms of who they're doubling.
Well, then, then maybe the question becomes, what's more valuable if you're the Titans? Like, having Simmons and Sweat together in the interior? Or if you could get a third round pick out of this, could you find another edge rusher out there that you got Sweat up the middle, an edge rusher you feel good about on either side of him? That I mean, look, they need two of those guys. They need two edge rushers. And I don't know if you're going to be able to find two high-level edge rushers in the draft this year, but maybe if you trade him, there's somebody that could be available.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're edge heavy, I guess. But I just – yeah, it's – I'd be very interested to know, you know, if there is a market for this, if there actually is a possibility, you know, and what team out there – is there a team out there – nothing comes to mind for me that's, like, good – could do it, and, like, he would be a big difference for them. Like, the defensive interior is a specific right. weakness for that team.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Jeffrey Simmons. Would you like to see the Titans explore a trade with him? Plus, taking a quick look around the rest of the AFC South, I've got some names to throw out there of maybe something Titans fans may not like on Thursday night. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Sunday. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the NFL draft, 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Chad on the text line, Joe, says, the Lions are your ticket. Trade Jeffrey Simmons to the Lions.
Yeah, last year we did talk about that, right? I think at some point.
We did.
As one of the possibilities for the Lions. You know, again, the main goal is to get to Hendon Hooker here and let him become the
a mighty team that will not yield.
There we go.
Getting around there at some point.
Yeah. I don't know that
Come on down, Hendon.
The Lions need an edge, really, probably more than they need a tackle.
I agree.
You know, they got DJ Reader in there, and they got some guys. The edge position is where they really need somebody to help the big fella, whose name is eluding me now because my brain is slowly dissolving in public. Help me out.
The big fella up the middle?
They're star edge.
Oh, Aiden Hutchinson.
Good God.
I thought you were talking about up the middle.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the big, like the you know, the kid who broke his leg.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that dude.
He's pretty good.
Another one. Yeah, I don't think they would give a lot. And they're big. You know, they're big on like keeping it with the draft. Again, if you're gonna draft as well as they draft, that's a great plan. As long as you keep doing that. So that they're not a team that is gonna do a lot of trading draft assets for high priced veterans.
So I'm looking at the draft order as currently constructed here, Joe, knowing that things can change by the time draft time rolls around. Obviously, you're picking at one. If you're the Titans, we think we know what's going on there. Jacksonville is at 5. Indy is at 14. And Houston is at 25. Okay? So there's the rest of your division right now where things currently stand. Are there any like if you're a Titans fan looking at this, is there somebody that is realistic? And I'm not talking, you know, Cam Ward slipping down to 5 and the Titans trading for Trevor Lawrence or anything like that. I'm talking realistic stuff. Is there anybody that could drop to 5 or later down the list at 14 that you're looking at as a Titans fan saying, man, I really don't want this player going to Indianapolis, or man, I really don't want this player going to Jacksonville at number 5. Now, I don't think this is going to happen, but I would not totally take it out of the realm of realism. You know, it kind of feels like the Titans are going Cam Ward at 1, Travis Hunter's going at 2 to Cleveland, and then with the Giants, we'll see if they try to, you know, bite the bullet on a quarterback and go Shador, Jackson Dart, or whatever, or if they just, you know, take Abdul Carter and call it a day, and that's their edge rusher. But, like, what if people get scared off by Carter's injury, right, with the foot and him coming off the shoulder, and he's there at 5 for Jacksonville. Like, what are you thinking about that if you're a Titans fan? Like, on one hand, you'd be like, well, there's obviously some reason for concern here if he's dropping to number 5 that teams have been worried about. But number 2, like, I think he's clearly the most talented edge rusher in the draft if he is healthy. So I thought about that. And also, like, you know, at 14 for Indianapolis, I think there's a wide range of people that could be available there. But, like, I did think, like, what if Tyler Warren is available at 14 for Indy?
Seems about
it's like,
right.
Well, you know, some of the, you know, we had Nick Baumgartner on a couple weeks ago, and the comparison he gave for Warren was Dallas Clark in Indy. And it's like, well, what if they got their next Dallas Clark out there? So, you know, there's Tet McMillan that obviously could be available, and there are differing opinions on him. Like, where does Matthew Golden go? Like, does Matthew Golden go? One team I'd keep an eye on with him would be Dallas at 12. Like, they need another receiver, and I feel like he could end up going there. But we'll see. Like, I don't know that there's anybody that scares me to death that Indianapolis could take, but I do not want to see them, if I'm a Titans fan, ending up with Tyler Warren, who I think is going to be a very, very good player at the next level in the NFL.
I do, too. Well, I tell you what, the Brugler's latest mock, to me, this is a guy who, very good chance he's there. He probably is there, but he might not be there depending on the Vrabster, and that is Ashton Jeanty.
Yes.
And I tell you what, man, you know, and actually it's funny because some people have compared him to Maurice Jones-Drew, and I can kind of see that comparison, who was a hell of a player.
He was.
With the Jags. That's, you know, you give Trevor Lawrence that guy, that's something he's never had before. I don't know what that necessarily translates to in terms of his performance, but I just know that you having to tackle that guy twice a year, I just believe he's going to be a star in this league. So hope that Vrabel, although then I know then you'll have to watch Vrabel have a great player like that, but still, not in your division. You'd rather see Vrabel take him or for the Jags to do something different than for him to actually land there at 5.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I've seen mocked to Jacksonville at 5 is Mason Graham, the DT out of Michigan, who's a really good player, obviously. I mean, you don't love to see that either.
Yeah, there's going
to
be a good player.
There's going to be a good player that somebody takes at 5, you think. But, like, Jeanty could end up being an excellent player in the NFL. Again, could Carter slip? I have my doubts that he goes past 3, but, you know, what happens if Ward goes at 1, Hunter goes at 2, and then the Giants want to take a quarterback? Like, do Vrabel and the Patriots take Carter at 4, or do they stick with what most people think they will do, and that's go offensive lineman at that point? I don't know.
Take an OT. Yeah, it's a good question. And then the, you know, who would be for the Texans? You know, I mean, it's speaking of Michigan, I think their tight end, Colson Loveland, is a really good player too. Now, again, most people think he's going to be gone by then, but I'm trying to think of somebody, you know, in that range who might fall and be a little bit of a surprise that you'd be like, oh God, that, like, this mock has them taking Walter Nolan.
I'll tell you another
would-be
guy.
Would be Vol.
What if, you know, who I think would probably be a number one type of back in any other year that didn't have Ashton Jeanty or like Bijan Robinson. Like, that Hampton kid out of North Carolina is really good. You know, what if he falls, and a lot of people think he's going first round, could Houston snatch him up at that point? Like, you know, Houston needs some offensive line help, obviously. Like, jettisoned their entire offensive line in the offseason. So that's probably where they're going at 25, which, again, you know, nobody ever gets excited about the offensive line picks, but if you do it right, then that's pretty transformative foundational picks for you. But could they end up with somebody that you're just like, good gracious, like how did Houston end up with him?
Right. Yeah. The reality is, at least for something like this, it's like you rarely are like, oh, they got that really good guard at 25, or Josh Connerly, man, he's a really good tackle or guard from Oregon. You know, that it may end up, you know, that's probably a big difference for them, right? I mean, last year's offensive sort of regression, I know they kind of scapegoated the OC, but probably had something to do with that too. So, really, it's a big deal if they can solidify the offensive line. But it's not – that's not a pick that you get upset about in the moment, you know. So, but yeah, Hampton is a guy, you know, they wouldn't take an edge, but like a guy like Michael Williams, really interesting, you know. I see him all over the place. He's only 20. I think he might end up being a star in the NFL, but he's been injured, and you don't know for sure what he is. Usually a guy coming out of Georgia is probably going to end up being pretty good.
I tell you, the one guy in the first round, there's actually two guys in the first round that I am really curious to see where they end up, and they're kind of all over the map right now in terms of, like, the mock draft land. Number one is Shamar Stewart, the edge out at A&M, because he's got all these measurables that people are over the moon about. He had, like, basically zero production at Texas A&M, which would scare the crap out of me if I'm an NFL team. And, of course, like, you know, my Lucky's being mocked all over the place to the Packers right now. And I'm like, no, no, do not take him. But he's one guy. And then there's Tet McMillan. You know, I heard Stilly talking about him the other day. So he ran, I think, a 4.55 40, which is not exactly what you're looking for. Now, he's also 6'4". So we have to keep that in mind. He's 6'4". I've seen him going in the top 10 in some of these mock drafts. I've seen him going to the Cowboys at 12. I saw a mock draft the other day where he's at 25. So I have no idea where he's going to end up in the first round. So those two guys are two at premium positions, at edge rusher and wide receiver, that I'm very interested to see where they go in the first round.
Yeah, Tet is he could fall. Like, I do feel like Golden's probably the surest thing at receiver in this draft. But I also, again, I'm just a big believer. Like, the whole 40 thing, man, it is so overrated. Again, you talk about, oh, this, you know, this guy 4.4 and a, you know, 4.41 whatever. Now, man, Jerry Rice ran a 4.6. I mean, and I'm not saying that he's going to be great for sure, but you look at how he plays. I think he's a first round receiver, and if somebody gets him in the mid-20s, late 20s, I think that's a huge steal.
I mean, who was the kid from Washington that ran the 40? John Ross.
Oh yeah,
John Ross, 4.22 40.
Sure, couldn't play a lick.
He couldn't.
I mean, it's great if you can do both. Like, if you're someone who can play and also runs a good time, sure. But it is truly one of the over. And you can find so many examples of great 40 time, no production. Troubling 40 time, didn't mean a damn thing.
You know, Stilly says that Bill Polian wouldn't take anybody at receiver that didn't run a 4.51 or higher.
Yeah. So okay, so Bill Polian wouldn't take Jerry Rice. Great. I want to listen more to him then. And I know he's obviously has a good track record, but that's just, to me, that's just stupid rule. Can you play football?
Stilly loves him some Bill Polian. I've noticed that over the last couple of weeks.
I mean, shouldn't there be like some sort of a cap? How about a cap on Bill Polian quotes on our radio station? Cap, cap, cap.
You know, Bill Polian said.
Cap, 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 cap. Nice.
615-737-1025.
Let's get Rick Spielman in there. Oh, my goodness.
615-737-1025, our number. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day coming up next. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Nothing like a hot cup of coffee.
Oh, Todd, I have to disagree with you, Todd. I take a look at a standard cup of hot Joe that compared to the dynamic, hard-hitting, electric, cold beverage like an iced mocha frappuccino out Seattle, the Starbucks franchise. Gives you a bigger burst, cooler temperature, no need to blow on it, because this one's ready to drink now.
The NFL will take Charles Manson if he can throw for 4,500 yards. Have we not figured this out yet?
He's a habitual line stepper.
Ooh, look at the unmute.
That's good. Oh,
deft, skillful. Maybe someday you could be like me and get gout.
I drink a lot of milk, Andrea. A lot of milk. Whole milk, though. Not the candy 2% or skim milk.
Hey, I've been saying that the whole time, but no one listens to me. Gonna get to you.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad, the floor is yours.
Coming in with some Ncott B at the end. That's really interesting. Ian reads minds, I think. You know, this weekend we had some company and we were talking about like the new kids on the block, you know, who liked listening to them. Like, my little sister had like the new kids on the block posters all
so
over
did my,
the wall.
Yeah, my
okay,
sister.
There you go.
The giant pins. The headlights.
Oh, sure.
Oh, the, right. Oh yeah. Like you. Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. Ncott B. Why did you decide? I just like.
Oh, I don't know. I just,
you just felt you were just feeling Ncott B today.
Yeah.
Got your house bugged.
Oh man. See, so now I this is what happens is now we have a text that makes me want to like pivot a little bit, but we'll get to this. Ed brings up a concern about getting third round picks and then lists out some bad third round picks. And my response is, yeah, I'm about to bury you, Ed, in examples of good third round picks. But
beware, Ed.
I will stick with the plan here, which is So this is also from the text line earlier in the show, and I totally missed this. I can't tell. I know that there was something initially. I guess maybe there was something new this weekend from TJ Hoogemanzada. By the way, I just said his name beautifully.
You did.
So I think we've, you know, probably gone around and around enough on this, but just I guess I have to, like, I feel like I have to get another word in because he's a friend of the Iamaliava family. Got that right, too. Nailed it.
Iamaliava.
Oh, crap. I didn't nail it. Iyama. I want to say, I want to emphasize the second syllable.
You do.
Iamaliava is correct. Why? I didn't have that problem before, did I?
You're really struggling the last couple
I know,
of
like,
weeks.
In the early days of, like, his commitment, we were, you know, bouncing it back and forth. Which is it? But anyway, Hoogemanzada is a friend of the family, and so he's out there, again, pushing the, you know, pushing the, this was not about money. This was about, so the big thing that he, you know, this is about the offense. And, you know, it's just, it's really enough, okay? But I see some people, Adam Gorney from Rivals, he's a national writer for Rivals, kind of picked this up and wrote about it and sort of backed up one thing that TJ said, which apparently is a big deal, which is, and Gorney says, this is his own sourcing, says, you know, the Iamaliava family did not talk to Spire Sports, you know, which is the Tennessee Collective. Last time they talked to them was January, okay? So this is, I guess this is some sort of proof that it's actually about the offense. To me, it's not at all that. It's just the Tennessee was out on giving him more money.
Yeah.
And so they decided to try to leverage this, and they completely screwed it up. They completely botched it. And so now they're trying to spin it. And again, it's like we're to the almost to the point, you know, once Tennessee gets their quarterback, whoever it is, everybody move on and we'll just see how it goes. But that means nothing. That doesn't mean anything. And like the idea that, and again, Hoogemanzada also saying a lot, I saw a lot of the stuff that he said, and it's all the usual stuff, like, well, if coaches can ask for a raise after success, why can't a player? And again, it's like that's true. Coaches get raises after good seasons all the time.
You can ask.
Yeah, exactly. You can ask, but like, look at his particular success. Did he have enough around him offensively? Did the family ask about that? I believe so. I believe that's true. I believe they asked about better protection, weaponry on the outside, and all that. The offense itself, though, again, like, Heupel's not changing his offense. He had this offense before you got there. You knew what it is. You know what it is now, you know. So I understand that it's more nuanced than just straight-up money, but to try to spin this now into that, like, what's the point? You move on. I hope UCLA gave you good money. You know, I don't think we're ever going to see a figure on that. But you cost yourself. And the thing is, if they're going to be bad, then you really cost yourself. Because, you know, if you didn't like your protection and all that now, or last year, you know, this year right now, it looks like it's going to be a rough go after you learn this new offense.
Look, I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, Tennessee or name your college program, like, tells the truth all the time, right? Like, there's some lying and some shady business and all that stuff that takes place in college sports. But also, like, I don't really care what TJ Hoogemanzada or really anybody associated with Nico's family says, because they have already been shown to be liars. Like, it is documented. Like, they tried to go to Tennessee with offers that did not exist from other programs and make it sound like they were being offered more money and more, you know, different options with programs than they actually were. So, frankly, after you do that, I don't really care what TJ Hoogemanzada or anybody associated with the family says. You can't be trusted. So I'm not trusting you with stuff you say like that.
Yeah, and he said it on, you know, he said it to on Fox Radio to LeVar Arrington on their, you know, morning show. And again, it's just like this reminds me, we were talking about Rick Barnes earlier. This reminds me of, again, Rick Barnes almost took the UCLA job. So I remember I wrote a comment about this at the Tennessee, and it was so infuriating. Rick Barnes almost took the UCLA job. He decided not to. You know, Fulmer paid him. They kept all that stuff. So then there was an insider, you know, it was like behind the scenes of what happened in the LA Times by their beat writer. But it was just like what the AD told him happened. And Rick Barnes, on and off the record, was like, that is not at all what happened. I don't know what happened. But I know that if you're going to take a biased perspective on a two-side story and just try to report that as fact, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of stuff about the situation we don't know. But like you said, they've been proven to be dishonest. And also, it's just incredibly stupid. If you had gone before, before all these other Beck had gone to Miami, Mateer had gone to Oklahoma, you got Jackson Arnold, the Oklahoma King comes off. You know, there's all these other quarterbacks. If you'd gone then, you would probably have bidders and you might actually get yourself more money and a team that might win. I mean, you totally botched the situation. So Nick Iamaleava needs to just stop and, you know, just worry about his kids and stop trying to play the spin game on this crap.
Well, and, you know, I think you said it well, kind of leading into all this. I think we're now probably at the point where he's gone. He's at UCLA, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how things go there. Like, I think from the Tennessee side of this, people have moved past the Nico part now. It's like, all right, well, we'll see, bud. And we'll see how it goes. And then now the question is, who is going to be the next quarterback at Tennessee? Is it going to be the Merck Slinger, or are they going to find somebody else?
Ryan in Florida says, I saw 900K. Yeah, I'm sure, like, there's message boards. You probably find somebody who'll say he got, like, 8,000 and some Bisquick coupons. I mean, I'm sure, you know. I would think that UCLA probably paid him more than a million. Maybe not.
In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, man. That is one huge benefit of moving back
coming
out
here.
There.
They're moving the headquarters.
That's
here.
That's true. When do we get it? When do we get our first
I don't know.
See, it's such a novelty to have it. I don't know if having it all the time. It's like when we moved from Michigan to here, and I was so excited about Chick-fil-A. It's like, oh, you just get Chick-fil-A whenever you want.
I'll take it.
No free ads, though.
615-7.
Except for In-N-Out Burger.
26.
26.
Is the first expected to open. All so right. Maybe next year.
Getting close.
Good God. I'm going to be
Nico,
fatter, even fatter.
All you had to do was wait. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.